How's it going? That's brilliant. Tonight, we're going to be talking about God's call. And I wanted to take a look at this from a little bit different angle. We'll get to Abraham in a little bit, for those of you that looked at the sheet and know that we're going to be looking at that. So before we get to Abraham, we'll get to him, like I said, in a bit. Who knows how to play the game Simon Says? Right? You have to pardon my Scott. I don't know a lot of, you know, Scottish terms. Is it called Simon Says here in Scotland? Yeah. Thanks, Mary. Well, Simon Says, as you guys know, Simon Says is a pretty simple little children's game. One person is Simon, and the other people are playing. And Simon says something, and everyone has to do it. And so what would happen is I would be Simon, you would be the people, and I would say, Simon says, put your hand on your head. And you would all put your hands on your head. Perfect. You guys have all played this, except for Pink Nikki, who's not playing. Put your hand on your... There you go. Okay. So take your hands off. No, see, now you would all be out. See, good. All right. All right. You guys know how to play. You guys know how to play, Simon Says. Well, I'm going to give you, for those of you that play regularly, I'm going to give you an opportunity to learn how to win every time at Simon Says. You ready? It's pretty simple. How to win every time at Simon Says. There are three simple steps to winning at Simon Says. The first one is to know who Simon is. That's the most important part. You have to know who the Simon is. The second one is to listen only to Simon. Okay? Listen only to Simon. And last, obey what Simon says. It's pretty simple. You have to know who Simon is. You have to listen only to Simon. And then you have to obey what Simon says. And you'll win every time. I guarantee it. Okay, so tonight, I want to talk a little bit about how to know God's call and how your relationship with God and his call is a little bit like Simon says. Okay? So we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about knowing God. We're going to talk about listening only to God, and then we're going to talk about obeying what God says, just like Simon says, okay? So we're going to start with knowing and another game. Are you ready? Yes, this is everyone's favorite game. I know it may not be popular here in Scotland, but today it's your favorite game. It's called Who Knows Mike? Starring Mike Ramsey. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to need two volunteers. I'm going to pick them, so they're really not volunteers. I'm going to ask my wife, Kristen, to come up and help me. Kristen, everybody give her a hand. Kristen, have a seat right there, please. And I need one other person. Who could it be? Aaron. All right, Aaron. All right, great. Aaron, thank you so much for playing. Have a seat right here. And we're going to get to the game in just a second. All right. So let me get rid of the sound there. All right. Who Knows Mike, starring Mike Ramsey. And the object of the game here is I'm going to ask some very simple questions about me. And all you have to do is answer. She's going to answer too, but you're also going to answer them, okay? So she's going to get a chance to answer, and you're also going to get a chance to answer, and they're going to be questions about me, okay? All right. Let's see how well both of you do. Okay, so the first question is, you ready? What is Mike's favorite sport? Should we start with her? No. We'll start with Aaron. Aaron, what is Mike's favorite sport? Can we get a little bit more volume on that? Perfect. Perfect. A little anxiety. All right. Anytime now. Go ahead. Mike's favorite sport is today. Soccer. Okay. Good answer. All right. Kristen, what is Mike's favorite sport?
American football.
American football? You're correct. It's American football. Very good. Very good. Give her a hand. Give her a hand. Oh, that's a good. You were close. You were very, very close. You're very, very close. Okay. You get another chance. You ready? Okay. All right, you ready here? How many times has Mike been to Disney World? No, this is for you, Aaron. How many times has Mike been to Disney World? Anybody? No help from the audience, please. Come on. Three times. All right, that's a good guess. How many times has Mike, Kristen, how many times has Mike been to Disney World?
Well, he lived in Orlando, Florida for a year and had season passes.
Right.
And so 45 times.
45 times. Well, actually, the year that we lived in Orlando, we went 43 times, and I've been two other times besides that. So the answer is yes, 45 times. That is awesome, awesome. You are two. I believe you can get the next one. Erin, does everyone think she can get the next one? I believe you can get the next one. Okay, you ready? According to Mike, what snack makes every day better? What snack makes every day better? McDonald's. Hey, great guess. That's a kind of a snack, kind of a meal. Depends on where you're there. Kristen, according to Mike, what snack makes every day better quickly?
Cheetos.
Cheetos is correct. Cheetos. You guys don't really have Cheetos here, unfortunately. Some Wotsits, yeah, and they're not even the same. Unfortunately, I need to bring you. I think you can get some Cheetos occasionally, like at that Maricandy place. You used to be able to get them there. Yeah. You, there's one in town. There's one down on, what's that, Rose Street there? Yeah. Anyway, Cheetos makes every day better. Okay, ready? We're getting down to the good stuff here. Okay, ready? All right. These are harder. These are much harder. You ready? What is Mike most afraid of? Ooh, you think it's spiders? Is that your guess? Spiders. She said spiders. Spiders are yucky. Nobody likes a spider.
Okay, so I don't know if you're talking about, like, terrified of spiders. You're talking about, like, something. But you grew up with a dad who was always kind of hard on you.
Hmm.
And so you're always afraid of messing up, not getting it right.
Ooh, yeah. Spiders versus maybe failure.
Both.
Failure. I think the answer is, what is Mike most afraid of? The answer is yes, being a failure. I am scared of spiders, but I'm much more scared of being a failure. Okay, this is your last one.
All right.
Last one. Who thinks she can get at least one right? All right, you ready? Here we go. At the end of the day, what does Mike most regret? At the end of the day, what does Mike most regret? You don't know?
Call a friend.
One more time? No, you cannot call a friend. You're running out of time. Not living his life for God. That's good. That's good. Ooh. I feel like you know me, Erin. Okay, yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Okay, Kristen, at the end of the day, what does Mike most regret?
You're a good Christian guy.
Yes.
Thank you.
Along those same lines, I think you go to bed thinking, did I use my time wisely? Did I waste my time? Did I not, you know, do the things I was supposed to do today? Was I lazy?
You are correct. Wasted moments. Yes, Mike most regrets wasted moments. Thank you so much. I think, unfortunately, the score is 5-0. But thank you so much for playing. We do have a lovely parting gift for you, Erin. Mike's favorite candy, Reese's Pieces. Thank you for playing Who Knows Mike, starring Mike Ramsey. Give him a big hand. Thank you. Woo, that's a fun game right there. Maybe next time you guys will get a chance to play. Obviously, that was a silly game. And it was clear as we played that Kristen knew me more intimately. As a matter of fact, as the questions got more intimate, it became clear that the one who knew me the best was the one that was most intimate with me. Now, knowing what God wants first means that we must know God. And the more intimately we know him, the easier it becomes for us to know what he wants. So just like in Simon Says, we have to know who Simon is. If we're going to listen to God and know God's call, we have to know who God is. So how do we get to know God? Right? That's the big question. How do we get to know him? Well, we get to know him just like we get to know one another. We get to know him just like we get to know other people in our relationships and the relationships we have, by spending time with them. So how do you spend time with God? Well, you spend time in his word. You read and study and memorize his word. Nairi, what's a verse of scripture that you know?
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Okay. Len? Oh, good. That's good. John, do you have one?
Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing.
Okay. Now, obviously, I picked out some people here. The reason why they know these things is because they've spent time with his word. And those verses obviously came out of the air. I just asked them, and they just had to pick one out. But the reason they picked those out is probably because they're close to their heart in some regards. And the primary way that God speaks to us is through his word. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. It gets dark here really early. Lamps are helpful. We were walking around the other night. We went up to Straighton to see Claire at the McDonald's. And as we were walking, there was a, where was it? It was in the parking lot right there in front of Frankie and Benny's. You guys familiar with that place right there? None of the lights were on in the car park there. There, it was completely dark. And so as we were walking through, I was like, I can't believe how dark it is. And it was like it was like 6 o'clock. I can't remember. But light is helpful. It helps us know where we're going. Now another way of getting to know God is by spending time with his people in fellowship with one another here, like we are now. Being around other believers helps you see God at work in their life. Seeing how God works in the lives of others, especially people that are closest to us, helps us see and know that God is working. And sometimes we can be more objective when we look at other people than we can look at ourselves. And so when we see God at work in the lives of other people, that's helpful for us. That's reassuring to know God is definitely at work. So, in Acts 2, it talked about the very beginning of the church. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. At the beginning of the church, people would just spend so much time together. They relied on each other. And as a community, we need to rely on each other. So another way of getting to know God is by spending time with his people. Lastly, spending time in prayer, talking with God, praying psalms, praying with other people, praying alone. And I know that a lot of people struggle with prayer. And I think it has, the reason a lot of people struggle with it is that they think it has to be done maybe in a certain way. Like there's a certain language that you have to have. Have you ever heard someone like in a conversation and then heard them as they pray? It's almost like two different people. It's like they use different words that they wouldn't normally use in regular conversation in their prayers. Oh, Lord, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day, Lord. And their voice changes. Have you ever heard somebody pray like that? It's like they have to put on their prayer voice. It's like God won't listen to them unless they're speaking in the right prayer language. And I think that's one of the reasons why we struggle with it, to do it, you know, maybe in our cars or at our homes or, you know, when we're taking a bath or whenever we're alone, is because we don't maybe feel like that God's listening to us because we're not talking it right. We're not saying it right. But talking with God is just that. It's talking with him just like you would any other friend. Psalm 116 says it like this: I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. He heard my voice. But there's a second half talking, and that's the bit of listening. And John talked a little bit about that this morning. So how do we recognize God's voice? How do we recognize it when he's speaking to us? How many of you recognize this song? Like nobody else, the way that you lift your head gets me over. Raise your hand if you recognize it. Okay, even some of the elder statesmen, the more mature of us, know this song, right? And the reason why we might know this song is because they play it incessantly, right? As a matter of fact, sometimes I go to sleep humming this song, unaware that it's in my brain. Right? But how many people know this song? All right. Your age gives you away. In 1989, this was One Direction. These were, this was the boy band then. Right? The Backstreet Boys. What? New Kids on the Block, sorry. Sorry. New Kids on the Block. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know my boy band. It's been a long time since I've heard this song. Now, here's the point. You recognize One Direction because you've heard it a lot. You hear it more and more and more. And again, I think I could sing every word because I hear it a lot at my house too, unfortunately. Oh. But the more you hear something, the more familiar you become with it. The more familiar the sound becomes, where it only takes a note to recognize the tune. It only takes a whisper to know whose voice it is. John 10 says it like this: my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My sheep listen to my voice. How reassuring that we are secure in God's hand. Still, sometimes I suspect that we don't hear from God because there's no space in our life to hear him. We're always talking or texting or driving or working or doing. But like John discussed this morning, we need to make time for listening. We need to take those moments to hear what God may be saying about our requests and about our lives. Sometimes I suspect we don't hear from God because maybe we're not ready to listen to him. Sometimes I suspect we approach God with a question in hopes of maybe not hearing the answer. We don't want to know what he has to say about it. Part of being a Christian is learning to become the kind of person who is prepared to hear God's voice and then obey it. Learning. It takes time. It takes a little bit of effort. As we spend time with God and we're around his people and taking time to listen, we begin to hear him. At first, we only hear the loud bits. But as we hear it more and more, and as we're around it more and more, and as other people are pointing it out more and more, we begin to recognize the smaller bits. But that leaves us with the hardest part. And now we're on to Abraham. Let me read the story. It's fun to Bible. Can I borrow yours? We're in Genesis chapter 12, if you want to turn there. It's right there at the beginning. It's on page 13, in case you can't find it. Starting chapter 12, verse 1, I'm going to read to verse 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they accumulated, and the people they had acquired inherent, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree at Morah at Shechem. At the time the Canaanites were in the land, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. Now, this is the beginning of what we might call redemptive history. This is the beginning where God begins to redeem his people, right here in chapter 12. And there's tons of lessons that we can learn from Abraham's life. But do you want to know where it all began? Where all of this began? Where all of this began? It began right there. It began with God initiating with Abraham, and with Abraham obeying. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. Our Christian life is rooted in God's word. It's rooted in us believing his word and the reliability of that word. When you stop and think about it, Abraham had no concrete, tangible proof that any life or blessing lay ahead of him. He had no proof of that. As a matter of fact, he lived in a pretty good city before. He had lots of stuff before. Yet God said, take all the bits that you have, get on your donkey or whatever they had then, and go that way to some unknown destination. All he had to rely upon was God, who had revealed himself to him and said, "This is what I want you to do." He put all of his faith in what God told him, in what God had said, in the call that he received from God. And in reality, that's really all of us can do. That's all any of us can do. There's evidence for sort of the reasonableness of faith. But at the bottom, at the end, at the bottom line, we simply must believe that God says stuff and that what he says is true, and we believe it and we're going to follow it. Do we believe that God is who he says he is and he can do what he says he can do? Do we believe that? Again, the Christian walk is simply doing what God has called us to do and believing that he is leading us as we do it. John 14 says this, "If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father and he will provide you another friend that you will always have someone with you, so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth." God called Abraham. He asked him to leave without knowing where this obedience was going to take him, but believing that God was leading him as he went. Often I've heard people say, "Mike, I wish God would just tell me what he wants me to do. I wish he would just let me know." And wouldn't that be great? I mean, that'd be great, wouldn't it? If like every morning you woke up and there was a text from God, right? Or maybe a list that would magically got stuck in your diary. Facebook, whatever your means of communication is. A divine list that you could just check off each day. Here's your things to do by God. Bam. And every morning you wake up and it's just magically there. Wouldn't that be great? The problem with that is that it would not be faith or love. God doesn't want people who just check him off a list. He wants people who know him and love him and desire to follow him because they know his voice and they recognize him. Again, faith is not developed by living life by some sort of map. It's developed by walking in an intimate, personal relationship with God. It's developed by playing Simon Says. It's developed by playing Simon Says. Remember how we win at Simon Says? We talked about this. Know who Simon is. Listen only to Simon. Obey what Simon says. We need to know who God is. We need to listen only to God. And we need to obey what God says. When we do these things, when we know God intimately, when we make time to read his word and spend time in fellowship, when we make space in our life to pray and listen, then when the moments come, we make good decisions to follow what we know to be true, trusting that God has our best interests in mind. Knowing who God is, listening only to God, obeying what God says, this is how we should live our lives. Not only then will we be able to hear God's call when the big things come, but we'll be hearing his voice daily as we walk with him each and every step of our life, even if we go into unknown places. I want to give you guys just a couple of minutes to spend some time just by yourself here with one another. Take a few minutes and talk to him. Whatever it is that's on your heart right now. This is one of those moments you get for free. You showed up here. I'm giving it to you. I'm going to stop talking in just a minute. And I'm going to let you guys have a few minutes just to sit quietly. And I know that's going to be hard for some of you. It's going to be really hard. But take that. Just flush it. Just flush all the junk out and just try to focus on God. Try to focus on him and say, God, what do you want me to know right now? What do you want me to hear right now? I'm not saying that some magic voice is going to come in your mind. It may, but take this moment right now, and we'll close with some singing in just a few minutes.